Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. Firstly, I hope you're all well and everyone around you, loved ones, family, everybody's good, given the pandemic situation in the world. Welcome to this conference, in which we'll be presenting the 2020 half-yearly results. This, of course, has been a very difficult year so far for everyone. With this pandemic having affected the world, the entire world, and pretty much every layer of societies, we at Purcari, of course, we are not new to crisis. Purcari has successfully overcome many challenges in the past. This one, however, was something that has not only affected our company, but has affected everyone around us, other businesses we work with, the communities in which we sell our products. So in weathering this crisis, our goal was to always act in balance with ensuring business health on one side, our employees' health, of course, and also with an outlook on how our actions may impact the environment around us. Okay, so without further ado, let me start with a presentation. Probably the first slide we'll go to would be slide 5, which is the Purcari Wineries at a glance. This is an overview of our group that I'm sure you're all very well familiar with. One change in this slide is the shares of revenues, is the chart on the top right. Here, the first half figures have been updated. And as you can see, the mix of revenue generated in various markets has changed. We now have a very strong presence in Romania with a 51% contribution to the total group revenue. Poland has overtaken Republic of Moldova now with 13% of generated group revenue. This, of course, you know, there are underlying both positive and negative effects that led to this shift. The positive ones being very strong performance in Romania, which we're very happy with. Strong resilience in Poland and Czech Republic and Slovakia. Hello? Hi, I'm back. I'm hearing the standby music. Hi, can you hear me now? Okay, I think I'm being heard, so I'll continue. Okay, where was I? So I think I was talking about the sales mix. So overall we have strong performance in Romania, we have, you know, good resilience in the Czech Republic, Slovakia and some other markets, in Poland of course as well. But we did see some negative effects from let's say countries such as China and Republic of Moldova. I'll go into this a bit later in the presentation. I'll probably jump to slides. So if we're looking at slides, so pages 10 and 11. Page 10 and 11, these two, they show our ability to produce some of the most fantastic wines, very highly appreciated by general public as well as experts. So on page 10, is a slide that you're familiar with, showing Purcari topping the brand mentions on Instagram, as well as highest rated wine producer on Vidina Romania on the right. On page 11, we see Purcari being the most awarded wine producer in Central and Eastern Europe at top global wine competitions. And of course, maintaining this is an important USP and part of the value proposition to our customers. Let's jump into the numbers now. So if we move to page 13, this is a high-level overview of our half-yearly performance this year. The totals at the top representing the figures for 6 months, while you see the stacked bars representing the figures for first quarter at the bottom and second quarter at the top. So if we speak about the 6 months, the group has reached revenues of 84.9 million RON, this representing a 3% decrease from the same period last year. EBITDA for the 6 months is at 28.3 million RON. This represents a 6% decrease from last year. And net income is at 15.6 million RON, which represent a 9% decrease from the same period of 2019. Given, of course, the situation with the pandemic and the timing in which it affected different areas of the globe, it's important that we look at the performance at quarterly level. So the bars at the bottom represent the performance in the first quarter of this year, with revenue and EBITDA showing healthy growth of 10% and 25% respectively. And net income for the first quarter showing the decline of 7%. But if you remember in the presentation, when we presented the first quarter, after adjusting for the non-operational effects of currency exchange rate fluctuations, the normalized net income for the first quarter was 11.1 million RON, which was a growth of 20%. So overall, you know, despite sales to China being already affected quite early in the first quarter, the overall the first quarter was a, you know, we see it as a good start of the year. However, when looking at the second quarter of 2020, we experienced a decline of 15% in revenue, 31% in EBITDA, and 11% in net profit. And here's where we can see the effect of the pandemic, you know, fully unload on our business. However, you know, even a further drill down of these figures will show how much decline came from each market. And in fact, a lot of the drawback came from two markets primarily that hold a high share of our sales. Those, of course, one of them is China, which pretty much had no orders during the second quarter for obvious reasons, and the Republic of Moldova, the reasons I will go further in the presentations. To note here that when looking at margins, and you can see them at the bottom of the charts, they remain healthy with gross margin across the group at 48%, EBITDA margin at 33%, and net income margin at 18%. All these figures decreasing by 1 percentage point when comparing to the first half of last year, but looking very healthy. Okay, on page 14, we present some key operational highlights, but I will not stop here for too long. And I'll actually move to page 15 because I will cover later in this presentation pretty much all the information that's on this slide. I'll cover it in some other slides further down, so I don't want to repeat myself. So if we move to the second to the next slide, next page 15, we see this is the overview of the markets and our performance in each of our key markets. Overall, we see good sales performance for the group, especially given the pandemic situation. As I mentioned, two markets that have been more heavily affected are the Republic of Moldova and China. The star performer here is Romania, with strong growth from Pokai, from Ceptura, and from Bardar. And despite Horeca shutdowns here, we managed to maintain and grow our sales, primarily through modern trade, though fragmented trade has seen growth too. Second quarter in Romania showed some weakness, but overall, when we look at the 6 months, the figure looks very, very good and healthy. And what's important is that we see this trend, the growth trend continuing in July and August so far. So this comes to show that our strategy of not taking the foot off the gas in this market has paid off. We've been very active with, marketing, campaigns which are on the theme of coronavirus. Of course, these are, engaging with the communities, and also other campaigns that are more consumer focused, especially for Crama Ceptura. In the next slide, we'll see the effect of our activities in Romania, and I'll go a bit more in detail then. Republic of Moldova, has seen a decline year-on-year. There are multiple factors, one of them being the fact that HoReCa and duty-free shops, which pretty much stopped between the first and the, well, they stopped somewhere in the second quarter, pretty much for the whole second quarter. They hold a large portion of our sales in the market, and of course this has had a strong effect. Our Chateau sales, which are traditionally around 2% of the group, they were also non-existing during the second quarter. All of this combined has had some effect on the on our sales. Additionally, there was what we perceive an overreaction of our competitors in the onset of the pandemic here in the market. There were some, leading to some heavy discounting in all sales channels. We, on the other hand, we decided not to engage in aggressive discounting, but rather opt for, shall we say, brand preservation, which we're confident that in the long term, if you look at the business from the long term perspective, is the right way, is the right approach. Poland and Czech Republic and Slovakia, they all showed fairly steady results. Poland slightly up, Czech Republic slightly down. There's, of course, also there's some offset of our sales to Tesco, which also end up in Poland. Tesco has had some reduction of their footprint in Poland. This actually comes to the numbers that you see for the Czech Republic, because that's where our sales go to Tesco. But overall, these countries have shown a steady foot, which is again, given the situation, it's a good result. Another strong performer was Ukraine, especially with Purcari brand, which nearly doubled sales. As our wines become more and more notorious among consumers, sommeliers and other influencers. This growth was also supported through various trade activities and also increased visibility on the shelves. Now, if we move to the second slide, I mentioned if you remember the presentation, in the first half, there were different approaches of how we were going to address this the pandemic. The traditional approach, and of course, and the one that's sort of the first instinct is to heavily reduce on the marketing side and other sort of expenses. We took a different approach and we actually invested. So we didn't take the foot off the gas, and we actually invested more in the market. And actually, that has paid off. You can imagine that Romania, of course, is the base of the sale base is very high. So creating growth there, it's a big achievement, especially given the situation. And that is seen here through the fact that we have gained share as a group. So on the chart on the left, if everybody's on page 16, the chart on the left shows that we have grown our market share from 9% to 11%. And then the dominance in the premium segment can be seen on the right, with Purcari fully dominating and us as a group holding 30% of the premium segment. Not only was this good for the first half of the year, but we also believe that this sort of investment and strengthening of our position is very strong when leading to our performance in the second half. And of course, you need to remember that it's the second half of the year that generates, the seasonality is skewed to 60% of sales being generated in the second half of the year. So overall, very good situation in Romania. If I move on to page 17, so here we have a look at the brands. Purcari, overall, a very strong performer. The total result for the group was pulled back by the declines that I've mentioned in Republic of Moldova and China. Bostavan, high double-digit growth in Baltic states and Ukraine, with flat numbers in Poland. Romania, fairly flat. Czech Republic and Slovakia, also fairly flat. Overall, as a figure, at minus 5%, again, with a high impact from declined sales in Moldova and China. Kramacheptura showed strong double-digit growth in the first quarter and still growth in the second quarter. It was slightly diminished, but overall you can see that it results in a 12% growth for the 6 months year-on-year. So it's a good result. And for Bardar, around 60% of Bardar sales, they come from Moldova, and especially in channels such as HoReCa and duty free, which were shut down during the second quarter, resulting in an overall decline for the brand of 33%. Moving on to page 18, so here we see some details, some more details in the financial results. Many of these I have covered above. Maybe some notes here. There's a slight reduction in the gross margin, and this comes with the effect from the sales mix, which is sort of, we can say, sales mix product-wise and sales mix market-wise. And of course, primarily the loss of, to a certain degree, more profitable sales to China. And we also see the declines of sales of Bardar and Purcari brands in Moldova, which also carry high profitability. SG&A with a slight increase as we kept investing in both brand and trade marketing, as I mentioned, as well as incurring some pandemic-related costs, one of them being our donations to hospitals in Moldova and Romania, such as ventilators and other equipment, as well as increased health measures at our wineries. This was, of course, unexpected cost, and this included, you know, things like masks, face shields, as well as increased transportation costs due to lower capacity of the transportation vehicles in order to maintain safe distance, and other similar cost increases. At the same time, we have done well to keep other costs under control through a targeted cost optimization program internally. Bottom line for 6 months is at 15.6 million RON with a margin of 18%. The team here, of course, is not happy to see declining numbers. It's something that Purcari Group has not experienced in quite some time, but in relative terms, we see the overall result positive. In fact, beating our bad case scenarios of those stress tests that we've performed in April. We'll look at this in a bit. So moving on to the 2020 outlook and different contingency plans, page 20, very quickly, you know, we have dealt with most of the risks that are part of the situation with the coronavirus. We've dealt with them earlier on the onset of the pandemic. So all the solutions are pretty much in place. We're ready now for harvesting, which will start, you know, any day now. Moving on to page 21. This is those stress test scenarios that we have performed in April. Of course, again, mentioning that these were not forecast by any means. This was an internal sort of worst case, or say bad, worst, worst case scenario, stress test scenarios. And as you can see here on the right, the actual result for the first half, we've beat it, even the, let's say, one of our more softer bad case scenario. If you remember, you know, we mentioned a few times that we are internally preparing for the worst, but are pushing for the best. And, you know, as simple as it sounds, but this sort of a general approach has led to this, where we have had some you know, cost reductions, while at the same time we kept revenue to, we believe, a decline, but a good result given the circumstances. Moving on to page 22, here we see that overall our financial situation has actually improved. This, of course, is important because one thing is, you know, our performance in the first half, but there's the second half ahead of us. And given the circumstances with the pandemic, it's important, and all the uncertainties, it's important that we as a business are healthy financially. Page 23. Shows that you know, we continue to be champions in quality, both Challenge International du Vin 2020 and the Televinarium. Purcari is the most awarded winery in Moldova. Again, it's important. Quality is at the core of our value proposition to our customers, And also what's important is that now Bargar is also getting on the scene, receiving medals at notorious competitions, spears competitions. I will jump through the next couple of slides. Maybe I'll go to maybe to page 26 just to quickly mention again that, you know, though we realize the challenge and the risk ahead of us with coronavirus, we kept pushing for smart marketing campaigns. And as I've shown in the slides above, that this did have a good effect, especially in Romania, but also in a market like Ukraine, where we've pumped up the presence in the digital space. Moving on to page 28, it's a similar slide that we have presented before. If you look from the CapEx perspective, we have managed to create some optimizations. You know, to be clear, we have not removed any CapEx investment programs that were critical for our business and for our growth. So we are still well shaped when it comes to the investments that we're doing on the CapEx side. On the OPEX side, we've been very efficient through the internal OPEX overall cost optimization program. We've reduced some non-critical costs internally. We've negotiated with suppliers, and even the top management has taken cuts of 25 to 100% from their salary for a certain period, from 3 to 12 months. As I mentioned, financially we are steady and in a very healthy position. And additionally, we've opened new loan facilities of 32 million RON in Moldova, and in Romania a 15 million RON credit line. So again, overall we are very well shaped financially to overcome any sort of uncertainty. But overall, you know, we have a positive outlook for the second half of the year. So, sort of leading to page 29, and probably to conclude here is that we cannot yet issue a certain guidance. We believe it's still, the times are still uncertain, there's no certain specific number or certain guidance that we can give that would not include a fairly good portion of the guesswork. So we don't want to do that. Of course, we're not happy to see a decline for the first half. However, looking at the circumstances, we believe that results are overall good. But what's more important is how we move on to the second half of the year. And as I mentioned, we are in a very comfortable situation financially. We have very detailed plans when it comes to marketing, sales, and new product launches. So overall, we see ourselves as very well geared for the second half. I guess I'll end here. I'll say thank you, and I'll open for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And the first question is from the line of Kathleen Diakolu. Please go ahead.
Hello everyone. So I have two questions for now. The first one would be, so you mentioned somewhere in the report that in July and August you saw a rebound in sales. What are the drivers and what's the size of this rebound? That would be the first question. The second one would be, how is the harvest shaping up, and also how do you see the prices of grapes compared to previous years? For this year. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Kathleen. So the July numbers overall for the group are Of course, there's still adjustments that will eventually be done, but overall they are single-digit growths. And for the August, we do see the orders so far. We see them being strong. We're looking to, if we take the 7 months, so June to July performance, that would be a positive growth already from last year. So July alone is creating that, you know, the overall picture now for the year-on-year looks positive. Of course, more details will follow as we see how August progresses. In terms of harvest, there is a certain effect of the drought in Moldova. We do foresee a certain decrease in the expected yield per hectare. We're not able to, let's say, accurately measure this effect. We'll see as it progresses, but we do see a certain decrease in the yield. Of course, this decrease in yield may result in prices of grapes, you know, slightly fluctuating. But so far, you know, in our negotiations, of course, we have agreements that we construct during the year for when the harvest season comes. We do not foresee any growth in prices for grapes. Overall, we say if we look at the yield and the purchases, we look at the values of 2018. So in 2019 we had a certain growth in the yield and also in what we purchased. We back then we loaded ourselves and we stocked ourselves up. And this year we are looking at having pretty much the same volumes as 2018.
Thank you.
The next question is from Olivier of LBB. Please go ahead.
Hello, guys. Thank you so much for the call. Two quick questions from my side. First of all, what are you seeing in China right now? So are you seeing any recovery there? And then the second question is about the disposal of your stake in the glass producer. If you can give us some details on that and what impacts can we see on the numbers for the year. Thank you so much.
Thank you. China, we do see a certain pickup of sales, but it's still a negative. If we were to compare with the same results of last year, this would be still a negative. The numbers would be negative, so it's still a decline year on year. We do, however, see the activities and orders coming through. What's more important is that we have signed and kicked off with a large partner, which is Jointech. This is a group of companies also affiliated with Alibaba. They have many businesses, one of them also being in the wine distribution and the wine business, the promotion of wines. We do see that as giving strong, in the long term, of course, it will not be immediate, but we see that as a high opportunity. Overall, for China, it's still difficult to predict how the sales will be. There's still uncertainties in China, unfortunately. Regarding the sale of our stake in GCC, we unfortunately cannot give too much details given the construct of the deal. Of course, as you've seen in our current report, we've signed the SPA, so we signed a deal of disposing of or selling off of this 31% stake in GCC. The story, of course, is that we bought this stake in 2017 for around 1.7 million euro, and of course, our decision to sell it means that we do see this as a benefit to our company. So we do see there a positive effect. However, it's still early to say. There are certain approvals that are still in line, and that this the closure of the deal is dependent on. the closure of the deal is planned in November. And also there are other conditions that do not make this deal 100% certain. So I would not want to give, enter too much into detail because there are many, as I said, there are many uncertainties, and I don't want to lead nor one direction or the other. So unfortunately, this is as much as I can go into the sale of the GCC, of our stake in GCC.
Okay, thank you very much.
Maybe I'll add to this. So Al here, by the way, good to hear you on the call, Al here. And on GCC, so we bought it for 1.7. We marked it up last year to about twice that. And now we're selling at a price which we believe is very, very attractive for our shareholders. So the focus now is to make sure this deal gets done, but we cannot disclose more than that.
That's okay, but it's good, you know, good to know that there's potentially, you know, although not 100% certain, there's a potential, you know, positive impact there. Always good to know that. Thank you.
Thank you, Alpia.
The next question is from Stefan Lungu of Wood & Company. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the presentation. An impressive set of results, especially on Romania second quarter. So I got a couple of questions. The first one is you mentioned that in Moldova the competition was very aggressive in terms of discounting. How did the competition react in Romania? Because I would expect them to do something similar given Horeca sales have essentially been put on hold. And I can ask the other questions after this one.
Hi, Stefan. Romania, of course, there's always those trade activities and certain discounts happening, but we haven't experienced this aggression in Romania. There was, let's say, a more subdued and more mature approach to reacting to the, you know, to the onset of a crisis. In Moldova, however, the certain actions started quite early. And unfortunately, it has led to some of market erosion. We don't believe that this is a good approach for the long term. Thus, we've decided to not engage as aggressive as our competitors. We still were active on the market. We still generated sales. But again, we decided to not be as aggressive and to actually preserve our brand. Of course, it's important to mention that, you know, in the modern trade, we have maintained our competitiveness. We have maintained sales. A large portion of the decline still came from the Horeca shutdown, the duty free shutdown, and our chateau being closed off. And now you have a question, please.
Got it. Thank you. And then the other one is on Moldova, on particular on restrictions at the moment. Is Horeca like still closed? For example, like indoor area of the restaurant, like Romania, and are there like plans to lift further restrictions soon? What's the situation out there?
Yeah, so now the indoor is still closed. Terraces are open. Unfortunately, recently the pools have been closed. They've been closed again, but they're planning to reopen them now again. So it's unfortunately the policy is quite unclear. It's sort of on a 2-week rolling decision making. But we would expect that, you know, looking at maybe some neighboring countries such as Romania, such as Ukraine, such as Bulgaria, and the way those countries apply policies and when it comes to, you know, such as Horeca, but also the crossing of borders, we hope and believe and hope that the Moldovan government will take some notice of how other countries are dealing with this. Because, for example, in Ukraine, there's definitely activity in the market. Entering the country is much easier. So if you have a recently performed test which is negative of coronavirus, you come in. There's no quarantine. In Moldova, however, it's not the case, so it's a bit more restrictive. But we hope and we believe and hope that some of these measures will loosen up.
Okay, got it. But do you have the feeling that restaurants or the indoor area of restaurants is going to be the last thing that's going to be open?
Sorry, if we have an opinion.
Do you feel that the indoor area of restaurants is going to be the last thing that's going to open up?
Well, it has to be. It is the last
yeah.
one. It's the last one to open up. Yes, it is the last one to open up. It's a question
okay.
of when. That's a question. And at the same time, you know, even if the web opens up, you know, you still have people being cautious and people probably still avoiding. It's still summer. We you know, if there is a certain activity in HoReCa to, you know, if there is certain activity to be in HoReCa, it can already be experienced because of the terraces. It's good weather outside. But yes, of course, as the cooler weather comes, it will be important that the indoors are open too.
Okay, got it. Then the other question on the cost optimization program, how much of it is going to continue for the second part of the year? And how much of it were just short-term measures, if you can give us an idea?
Yeah, I would say that the cost optimization, the effects, they have been experienced already. So, you know, some of the, let's say, payment terms have been shifted. Some of the, you know, quarters have been negotiated. We're not going to see any additional very significant effect. It will not be significant. It's a continuous, it's part of our, you know, it's a slight DNA mutation, of course, internally. Purcari was always a very thrifty company and, you know, focused on cost, but now even more so. At the same time, you know, we're keeping the business going, and it's just that, of course, this opportunity, you know, I'll call a crisis an opportunity, you know, gave us the situation or the premises to really focus on to call it a program and to focus on this and to have, you know, working groups and to you know, get to tangible cost reductions.
Okay, got it. And the last question, I know at the last quarterly call, it was too early to talk about this, but in terms of acquisitions, obviously you can't disclose anything specific, but do you see more activity happening in that area? Do you see things picking up or is it just on hold as well?
At the moment, it's on hold. We were expecting to have some more activity in this period. One of our markets that we're more, let's say, more focused on acquisition was Romania. Romania has not felt the crisis, at least on the wine business, so much. We're looking also at the Nielsen market statistics. And, you know, other players, we can say, are okay, are fairly okay. So it's not that it was not a situation where all of a sudden the targets are you know, lining up and we have more opportunities. We are exploring some opportunities, but at the moment it's, you know, it's not warm. It's fairly cold. We have engaging, by the way. We are actively engaging in this. By the way, we're working with external parties to ensure that there's progress and there's pressure of progress on this side. But at the moment, there's nothing that's warm.
Okay, got it. And maybe a follow up on what you just said. You mentioned the Nielsen report on Romania. Do you have a sense of how much the wine market grew overall this year?
Wine market grew with low double digits.
Wow. That's for the first half.
That's for the first half. Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Okay, that's all from my side. Thank you, and have a good weekend.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Stefan.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone keypad. And we have a follow-up question from Kathleen Diaconu. Please go ahead.
No, I don't. I had also the question from with MMA, so I'm good.
Final reminder to ask a question. Please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. And there are no more questions at this time. I would like to hand back to Mr. Eugen Comendant for closing comments.
No, thank you everyone for your attention. You know, this crisis has, you know, put all of us in check. It has shown, of course, some industries being more affected than others. What's important is that we've seen that the industry that we're in is fairly crisis resilient. More importantly, our business is very crisis resilient. So that's something that's a learning that maybe we'll take for a long term with us. In the short term, the second half of the year where most of the sales happen in 1 year is important. That's where our focus is now. I can, confidently say that we have strong plans in place to push for strong performance in the second half of the year. Thank you again, and I wish everyone a good weekend.